Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome into the Money Line here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. The Money Line is powered by Twin Spire Sportsbook. They are my sportsbook. And I am joined, as always, by the one and only Chase McCabe. Chaser, how are we doing on this Friday evening?
Oh, Ryan, I'm good. I am ready for a nice weekend of sports. The NCAA tournament picks back up. Hopefully I can do much better with that than I did last weekend. And I'm going to a racetrack, so you know that makes me happy. So
well, you are going to be in heaven tomorrow and Sunday at Bristol.
I am going to the dirt race. So going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it.
So there are a lot of college basketball games to talk about this weekend, but before we get there, let's talk briefly about last weekend, because last weekend would have been our first experience talking about betting on the NCAA tournament while it's legal in Tennessee.
Yep.
And I've always been a bracket guy where I live and die off the bracket. But I must say, last weekend, the 4 days of the first and second rounds of the NCAA tournament, I didn't care about my bracket. I care about the first half under for Illinois of 28 points. I cared about whether or not Illinois was going to cover, or on a live line, if Loyola Chicago was going to cover. That is what I cared much more about than what I filled out earlier in the week on my bracket. And I kind of feel like a lot of people here in Tennessee and other states where the sports betting is legal probably felt the same way.
Oh, absolutely. It was certainly different. You know, I filled out a bracket. I'm in a bracket pool like I always am, but there is certainly something different now about it because of sports betting. And, you know, I honestly think, like, what I've told people before is betting on sports and learning the ins and outs of it have actually made me better at my day job of being a radio host, because of all the research that you have to, you know, if you want to do it well, the research that you do, you know, that's obviously stuff you can use when talking about sports like we do. So it certainly adds another element to the tournament. And as the sports fan, like, I love what we saw last weekend. I just wish that I had done a better job of picking those things to happen when I was making some bets. But I ended up rebounding. Sunday was a good day. Between NASCAR and then Oral Roberts and, you know, some of the NCAA tournament, I rebounded and maybe even used the NIT this week.
So did you have Oral Roberts money line against Florida?
I did, yes.
Pre-game or in-game?
Pre.
Okay. So I bring this up because the in-game betting for me was a game changer watching the NCAA tournament. Because, and I didn't do it for every game because it's hard to do what I'm about to say for every single game unless sure. You've got, you know, eight eyeballs on four games that's going on at the same time. But for instance, let me use the Loyola Chicago Illinois game as the example for this. Okay. And as an example for why there is 1,000% there is value on live betting in the middle of the games. So in the first half, it was very evident to me that Illinois was going to be struggling all day long against Loyola. Loyola has the number one defense when it comes to efficiency, according to KenPom. And it was very evident that Illinois was going to struggle. But I felt like the sports books were not adjusting quick enough on either the first half total for Illinois or the full game total for Illinois. And that's where I made some money. That's where, like, 5 or 10 minutes into the half, Illinois wasn't doing squat offensively. And I just kept hitting the under for Illinois team total in the first half. Because for them to get to over 28 or over 29 or over 30, it was going to take a monumental effort for Illinois' offense against that Loyola D. So the Illinois-Loyola Chicago game, for me, with the live betting, was phenomenal. And it that was my first time doing the live betting during the tournament was during that game. And I kept doing it for Syracuse, West Virginia, and then Abilene Christian, UCLA the next day. And it worked. It works for me.
You were just doing totals, or you were doing everything?
I was doing mostly team totals. The same thing happened in the Abilene Christian game where they had like, what, 12 points, like 15 minutes into the game. It at least felt like that. But then the team total for the entire game was still at 55. Like they were not going to get to 55. So just kept hammering the under. And it was successful. Did you partake in in-game, live in-game betting for the first or second round of the NCAA tournament?
Oh, sure I did. And usually what happens is when I know my original bet has no chance, you know, I'm going to try and recoup some money and jump on whether it's the spread or the money line. I mean, it's all about watching, you know, kind of where the game is going. I've actually had more success on live betting with the NBA than I have with college basketball.
Because
think about that, because with the NBA, like for instance, I'm just gonna use, you know, two teams or whatever, but you know, say it's like the Lakers and Golden State and they're playing each other, you know, LeBron's actually healthy, but you know, Golden State could open the game just, you know, with a lot of energy at home, they're hot, they go up by 15-20 points. And in your mind, you're thinking, okay, well, Lakers are out of it. But in the NBA, you know that that can swing, that can change very quickly. That it just like that with the shot clock, you can get back in a game. And so that's why it's fun for me to bet, do the live bet on NBA games, because it can just swing so much throughout the course of the four quarters. So I've had a lot of luck with that as of late.
Now, here's one challenge for me, and I assume for other people who have streaming and not cable.
Ooh, true.
Is that you're about 45 to 60 seconds behind live time, and the apps are updating in live time. So to get the feel for the game that's going on, it's a little, you almost have to be watching the app and watching the game at the same time. Right.
Or watch Twitter. Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I do when I have been in that situation, whether, you know, it's at your house or somebody that has streaming. I used to have streaming. I would watch Twitter, you know, Twitter would kind of help keep up with that. Do you live bet hockey?
I don't do that as much. Now if there's a game where I feel like it's going to hit the under and there's two goals scored right out of the gates in the first 5 minutes of regulation, then I might peek at the under and see what the adjusted over under is. But I don't live bet hockey as much.
Yeah, I do. In fact, like last night, for instance, I jumped on Tampa Bay, and you know, if you follow hockey enough, you think, okay, Tampa down by one, about 5 minutes left in the game. I think the money line, I got it. It was plus 450. Not an awful bet because it's Tampa Bay playing Dallas, and they end up tying it. They tie the game. And then in the closing minutes, Rupe Hintz puts Dallas ahead and Tampa pulls the goalie and can't get anything going or can't score a goal. But I felt good about that one. And like I had a fighting chance, the money line was really good, and it was Tampa Bay, the defending Stanley Cup champs.
You're right. This show is really good. This is The Money Line. Ryan Porth and Chase McCabe here with you on this Friday evening. ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app and streaming on Periscope, YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, all of the above. So you can watch us have some fun talking about sports betting tonight. And at 6:15, we've got a Sweet 16 edition of Cash or Trash. Cannot wait for that.
I'm especially ready.
Because one of us was very successful last week in Cash or Trash. And I'll leave it at that. We will reveal that coming up at 6:15. But I do want us to address one of the biggest stories in sports all week long. And that was the fact that Tim Peel was caught on a hot mic Tuesday night in the Nashville Predators Detroit Red Wings game, where Tim Peel admitted to essentially making a makeup call that wasn't really there. And 12 hours later, the NHL let him go. They said, "You're not officiating any more games.
You're retired
in this league." Basically forced him into retirement, which was coming in a couple of months. And I think there are a number of reasons why the NHL did that with Tim Peel. I don't think it's fair to the players for them to know that some penalties are going to be called that are obvious makeup calls when something may not be there. I don't think that's fair to the players of the PA. I don't think that's fair to the league as a whole. But the betting aspect of this, Chase, I feel like accelerated this process for the league.
Sure. Sure. I think it did too. And on our show on Darren Donick and Chase, Darren was the first to bring it up, and I was kicking myself because I had had that in my mind and in my notes of like, hey, we need to go down this road, and he beat me to it. But it's very true. It's the, and he used the word optics. That's exactly what it is. Do I think that Tim Peel was on the take or doing something completely, you know, malice? Absolutely not. I think that makeup calls, I actually went on a radio station in Vegas about 2 hours ago, and we talked about this. I think makeup calls happen all the time. They do. They are a part of the game, but it's changing now because a makeup call can alter the outcome of a game. And when you have people putting money on the game and it's legal to do so, and you have all these books that are sponsors of teams in the league now, it just is a really, really bad look. So the NHL had no choice. The NHL did exactly what they needed to do. Now, you know, saying like, he's never going to work games for us again when he was going to retire in a month is a, you know, like, okay, you just forced him into retirement. But they had to do something because they, and this was nowhere near a Tim Donaghy situation, and that's not, you know, what anyone's thinking, but it's certainly something that they have to be much more cognizant of than they have ever been in the past.
Well, and Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet has been very vocal about the betting aspect into that decision by the National Hockey League. And he joined you guys on Darren Donick and Chase yesterday afternoon and said as much that the betting aspect of this is probably reason number one why Tim Peel will no longer officiate in the National Hockey League.
I think it had everything to do with it, really. I do. And I think you're totally right. You can't have that kind, like, you can't have that kind of crisis of consumer confidence. You can't have that. And I think that's why they did what they did.
That was Elliot Friedman yesterday afternoon on Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I mean, Chase, he's 100% right. And if you were the league and you didn't do anything to that extent, and he was allowed to officiate another game this season before he ultimately retired, you're essentially saying that what he did is somewhat acceptable.
Yeah.
And you just can't have that in today's sports betting landscape when there is so much money invested on every game around the country.
Right. And I think that everyone is going to have to be more cognizant of it. Even though it's one of those things that happens in sports. And, you know, I've found myself this week as this situation, you know, is I've had more time to process it. And we've talked about it. Of this does kind of fall in the category of, well, it's the way we've always done it. That doesn't make it right.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't mean that the way you've always done it is the right way. You know, I got on here and I said, makeup calls happen in sports all the time, and they do. But now it's a bigger deal than it ever has been. So, and you know, when Elliot went there, I was like, there you go. I mean, he's right in the middle of it. And, with Sportsnet and covering the NHL, I mean, I think people that are in the know how big of a deal that it is now. And so the NHL, just like I said, they simply did not have a choice. And I think things, are you still going to have makeup calls? Sure. Yeah, you are. They won't completely go away. But I think that there's going to be more of a consciousness about it and thinking of the repercussions that can happen.
Well, there will always be an element of human error in sure. officiating, but you can't have those mistakes be blatantly done. And right. That's essentially what Tim Peel was admitting to or telling somebody on the ice that's what he did with the Victor Arvidsson penalty. And he will no longer officiate in the National Hockey League because of it. So big news in sports all week long, and sports betting likely having a role in that decision from the NHL. Coming up next, though, it is a Sweet 16 edition of Cash or Trash. Last week, we went all spreads. That's not the case this week. We have some fun props or spreads coming up next for the Sweet 16 action this weekend. He's Chase McCabe. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to The Moneyline, powered by TwinSpire Sportsbook. They're my sportsbook. And you're listening to The Moneyline on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Welcome back into The Moneyline, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth, Chase McCabe here with you on this Friday evening, talking all things sports betting. The Moneyline, powered by TwinSpire Sportsbook. They have a crazy good promotion going on right now. Their primetime play this week. Sign up now to get boosted odds on any college basketball team to hit a free throw this weekend. Just sign up using code PRIMETIME. And then select the new primetime play super odds market to select your odds boost. So a really cool odds boost from TwinSpires that you can utilize this weekend, as TwinSpires became legal in Tennessee just last week. So if you haven't tried out TwinSpires, you should. So last Friday, Chase, we did. It was the debut edition of not only The Moneyline, but the debut edition of Cash or Trash, which I think is quickly going to become our favorite segment on this show.
Oh, yeah.
And last week, so here's the concept. I pick five bets that I'm taking, and Chase, you tell me whether that bet is either cash or trash. And last week, on the five that I picked for the first round, I went 5-0.
I agreed with a couple.
You told me that three of them were trash.
Mm.
So you went 2-3 on cash or trash. I went 5-0.
Okay.
So we'll see how it goes this week with the Sweet 16. We've got five different bets to consider for the Sweet 16. So let's get it started with number one.
Number one.
All right. The first game on the docket tomorrow night, or I should say tomorrow afternoon, is Oregon State versus Loyola Chicago. And I might be suckered into this because of how good Loyola's defense was last week against Illinois. But here's the bet I'm taking. Oregon State team total under 59.5. And that's already a low number. But consider this. Loyola has held opponents below that number in 18 of their last 20 games. Loyola's defense is really stinking good. They're in a zone right now. This is the best defense in the country. I'm taking Oregon State under 59.5 points for the game. Chase, is that bet cash or trash?
So Oregon State averages 70.9 points per game. That's their average this season. And as you said, Loyola, what they've done in the last 18, 55.8 is what they're holding their opponents to. But I got two words for you. Lucas Williamson, defender, won his conference defender of the year with Loyola Chicago. So you know what? I'm throwing those stats at you to say cash.
Yes.
I agree with you on that.
All right. That bet is cash.
Everyone talks about Cameron Crutwig, and as they should, but as Elijah has taught me more about this Loyola team, Lucas Williamson is somebody to watch out for as well.
Well, Oregon State, now, this will go against our cash pick here. Oregon State has hit that over 8 straight games, but they have not faced a defense like Loyola. I think Loyola is going to slow this game down, and they're going to try to grind out another win to get to the Elite Eight. So Oregon State under 59.5. That is the first cash or trash pick of the Sweet 16.
Number two.
Saturday afternoon, in the game that follows Loyola versus Oregon State, is Baylor Villanova. Now, Villanova looked good last weekend, but consider who they played: North Texas and Winthrop, a 12 seed and a 13 seed. Baylor has been really stinking good all season long. The spread on this game is 7.5. I'm taking Baylor 7.5. They lay the points. I thought they looked great against Wisconsin last week. Villanova is still without Colin Gillespie. And Baylor is 16-10 against the spread this season. Give me the Bears. Is that cash or trash, Chase McCabe?
So you're going to lay the 7.5.
I am.
Okay. So let's break some things down with Butler. All right. Baylor, their player Butler, averages 16.9 per game, and Teague with 16 straight up points per game. So they already got some scores there that can sling the rock. They've shut down from the outside, holding opponents to about 30% behind the arc. So that's important to consider in this. Fourth in the nation in points per game at 83.8, where their opponents are putting up just 65.8. So that's Baylor. On the other side with Villanova, you got to watch out for Robinson Earl, because he puts up 16. They're averaging about 76 points per game, and it's Jay Wright. So you gotta respect that there. This is a tough one. This might be the toughest one on the ledger this week, because okay, I went back and forth on it. I'm going to say that Jay Wright keeps it close and it's trash.
Okay. All right. I can respect that.
I think 7.5 is a tricky number.
Yes, I would agree. And
the hook,
you do.
The hook might get you.
You have to respect Jay Wright. And I think Jay Wright is a big reason why they didn't really come close to being upset last week.
Correct.
Despite the injuries, despite the lack of depth. But Baylor's depth versus Villanova's lack of depth right now without Colin Gillespie, I think, is the reason why they pull away in the second half.
And Villanova is 3-0-1 against the spread in their last four as an underdog.
Oh, nice little nugget there. One Chase McCabe. All right, moving on.
Number three.
The nightcap, Saturday night. Syracuse is a 6.5-point underdog against the Houston Cougars.
Houston.
Jim Boeheim wins in the tournament, and Kelvin Sampson hasn't been past the Sweet 16 since 2003. Now, I'm not sitting here saying that Syracuse is going to win this game, but I really like Syracuse to cover the 6.5. Houston did not look impressive against Rutgers, and I know games don't really translate one to the other, but it's Syracuse in the tournament. It's hard to doubt them. I'm going with Syracuse plus the points.
When Darren asked the question today of the double-digit seeds that have the best chance at the upset, Willie kind of hemmed and hawed, but I immediately said, well, it's Syracuse because of the experience, because of Boeheim. Buddy Boeheim is – I love watching him play basketball and what he does. So, the six, you know, you're getting 6.5. I think Houston is good. But as you said, Syracuse, as they have Buddy Boeheim averaging 18 a game, they're putting up 75.9 as a team, holding their opponents to about 70, and you got to respect the zone as well that Syracuse plays. So that's cash, my friend.
All right, straight cash, homie. We move on.
Number four.
All right, the number four pick for cash or trash this weekend. We go to the Sunday action. The first game on the docket is Gonzaga versus Creighton. The over-under is 158. That is a steep number. Both of these teams can score points, but both of these teams, when they want to, can play defense. Gonzaga can shoot the lights out, but I think Creighton does enough to not let Gonzaga put a 90-burger on them. And I think Gonzaga's defense plays well enough that Creighton does not let this score threaten the over. I'm going under 158. Is that cash or trash?
Gonzaga averages 92 points per game.
They're unreal.
I mean, so you got to look at that. 76.3 for Creighton, but Creighton, the under is 4-0 in their last four with them. And then 6-1 in their last seven NCAA tournament games, which I know that's, you can't really look at that, different teams, obviously. This one is really close. I'm going to say trash slightly.
Okay.
I think the over slightly, I would take that. And, you know, life's too short to bet the under.
I knew you were going to say that. I just knew you were going to say that.
I'll say this though, Ryan, like we're much closer together this week than we were last week.
Okay. Well, I will say this too. The Sweet 16 spreads were a lot more difficult to pick this week than any of the first or second round games.
There's some tough numbers.
I mean,
Vegas knows Vegas, do that for a reason.
Vegas did a great job picking these spreads and totals this week. All right. I will say this, though. Let's move on to number five.
Number five.
This is the one that I feel the best about, and it is the over of the Alabama-UCLA game on Sunday evening. The over of 145.5. Alabama, speaking of shooting lights out, they could not miss against Maryland. Now, they could turn in a cold shooting night, but Alabama is firing on all cylinders right now. UCLA can score some points as well. I am taking the over of this game, 145.5. Is Bama, that cash or trash?
Bama averages 79.7, UCLA 73.1. You framed it perfectly. I agree with everything you just said. That's cash.
All right. Straight cash, homie. So you
I
said,
only disagree with you on two.
All right. So you said three are cash and two are trash. So yep. We will see how we fare this week in cash or trash. Now, coming up next, we give some picks for the week, parlays, and our Back to the Future feature with future bets. That's all coming up next here on The Moneyline. Ryan Porth and Chase McCabe here with you on this Friday evening. The Moneyline powered by TwinSpire Sportsbook right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back into the Money Line, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Ryan Porth and Chase McCabe here with you on this Friday evening. And if you're just listening to the show for the first time, first of all, thank you. Second of all, we are now on every Friday night from 6 to 7 p.m. talking all things sports betting. And it could be the Sweet 16, it could be the NHL, could be the NBA, could be all sorts of things. And every week, Chase, we have our parlays of the week, and let's start with you. I know you've got a couple of parlays that you are that you've got your eye on that you are actually putting forth. So what you got for your first parlay of the week?
Two things before I do that. Number one, I'd like to read a tweet from GPander78 that tags us and says, so is the money line just a retooled version of the cheap seats, or would it be closer to the rundown? Hashtag back to the roots. Very, very
okay.
And as I lead you into these parlays, I promise that they're going to be better and more in depth than what Jared Stillman did to end his show. And I hope to have much better luck than Jared did. I know Jared's listening, so there you go. My first parlay, we go to the association tonight.
All right.
This will take place tonight in the NBA. Give me the Heat taking on the Hornets and the under 213.5. Both of these teams in their last four have hit the under. And I know after the trade deadline, it's going to be a little hard to read some things. You got some players that have moved around, but I still like the under in this one. So I go against my mantra of life's too short to bet the under. Take the under for leg number one.
All right. First of all, before you move on to leg number two, life's too short to bet the under only when it fits what you're trying to do.
Basically, yes.
Yeah.
It's a good phrase to use when I'm whatever.
Okay.
Leg number two, and I won't go into too much depth on this game because I know we're going to bring it up later. Grizzlies getting 9.5 against Utah.
Ooh.
And earlier in the year, Utah was really good against the spread. That has fallen off a little bit as of late, and the Grizzlies have picked up against the spread. So I like the 9.5 for okay. Memphis. And then another total, the Hawks taking on Golden State. Golden State is a team that I have live bet a couple of times this week. And that has not worked out in my favor, but I'm taking the under 217.5, much like leg number one. Both of these teams have been good against the under as of late. So I like that 217 and the hook for a three leg parlay.
All right. Good
all
stuff.
All three of those are tonight.
All right. Good. So, well, then we'll learn pretty quick whether or not you got your parlays right. How'd you do last week on your parlays?
You know, it's not important.
Okay. All right. So I'll just go ahead and assume that your parlays were trash last week. Yeah. So were mine. So we don't have to revisit that either. All right. Let's start with a money line parlay in the Sweet 16 with the four games that I feel the best about. So on the money line, Loyola,
yep.
Baylor,
okay.
Arkansas, and Gonzaga. I feel the best about those four games, that those four teams are going to win and advance to the Elite Eight.
You're taking all favorites.
That is correct. And the parlay payout is plus 123. So you got some favorites there, and you know, a four-leg parlay to only pay out, you know, plus 123 against the odds isn't ideal, but that's what I'm rolling with this weekend with a parlay for the Sweet 16. And then the NHL. My NHL parlay last week was absolute trash. So we try to rebound this week. And I'm going with three games tomorrow in the National Hockey League. I'm going with Islanders money line in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is bruised and battered. And the Islanders, even without Anders Lee, are playing dynamite hockey. So I'm putting Islanders money line in this parlay. Leg two of the parlay is Bruins 60-minute line against the Buffalo Sabres.
Okay.
In Twin Spires, it will say regular time. So I'm putting the Bruins 60-minute line in there against the Sabres. The Sabres are just absolute. Speaking of trash, the Sabres are absolute trash. And then the other game tomorrow night that I'm throwing into this parlay, three-leg parlay, so this is leg three, is Predators-Blackhawks under six. The Predators scored seven goals last night. By no means does that make them an offensive juggernaut. And the Chicago Blackhawks have played some low-scoring games here of late against the Florida Panthers. I will go under six. So that is my three-leg NHL parlay for tomorrow.
Somebody is telling me a parlay plus 123, shaking his head.
Does his name rhyme with Mickey?
It does.
Okay.
It
does. All right.
But I'm going to say this. I tend to agree with him on that. I mean, I know you took the favorites and that's fine, but you got to juice it up, man. Come on.
I feel confident in it. I'm confident in the parlay. It is still plus odds, so I'm rolling with it.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Whatever.
I mean, and it still has plus odds.
Put a big number down. That's if you have plus 123, the payout's not a lot. Put a big number down.
I may or may not have on that.
Okay.
And Vegas, yes. And Vegas is still saying that the odds are it won't happen.
Okay.
So that's how I'm approaching that.
I did a hockey one. I did a hockey one tonight.
All right.
And so tell me what you think about this. The Blues have been on a bit of the struggle bus.
Do not trust the Blues. Whatever you do in hockey betting, do not trust the Blues.
Well, I'm going to trust them tonight. Minus 200 on the money line. I'm going to trust them to get off the schneid and come back tonight. I see that grimace on your face. That's fine. Give me the Jets plus 105 on the money line.
I like it.
I like Winnipeg there. And then a team that I believe it was last night they won, but they've been pretty good as of late. The Sharks minus 115 on the money line.
See, those West Coast games, whether it's the Sharks, the Coyotes, the Ducks, or the Kings, if any of those four teams are playing each other, I stay away. I absolutely stay away because those games have been absolutely unpredictable this season.
Yeah, that's kind of fun though. I mean, that's kind of the gambling part of gambling. So,
I like to roll with bets that I feel more confident in than West Coast hockey.
Okay, that's fair. Well, that's what I got.
Those are our parlays of the week, and now we go back to the future, looking at some future bets in play. Chase, we'll start with you. What are one or two future bets that have your eye this week?
I have done local flavor this week. I've done two local teams. I will start with, I was curious to see what this would look like basically post free agency after the first wave. The Tennessee Titans are plus 130 to win the AFC South.
Oh.
They are not the favorite. The Colts are the favorite at minus 115.
Okay.
This is obviously pre-draft, but you're getting some value, a little value, not much, but a little, at plus 130. So I like that.
I'm not on board with that one. I want to see what they do in the draft.
Okay, that's fair.
So what else you got?
They're closer with the Colts there. Now, this one I'm throwing out there because, one, I want to see your reaction, but I think more people than I are looking at it right now.
Okay.
The Nashville Predators plus 850 to make the playoffs.
Ooh, as Fitzy would used to do.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's
intriguing.
Okay.
That is very intriguing.
All right. I like where you're going with that one.
That's juicy right there.
This team is starting to turn a corner, at least in the style of play. We'll see if it translates to enough wins and points to make it to the playoffs. All right. Are you done with your futures?
My two futures.
All right. We'll run through these really quick. The North Division in the National Hockey League has been super unpredictable. It is almost as unpredictable as West Coast hockey. But the Toronto Maple Leafs are way too heavy of favorites to win the division. Toronto was the sexy team early in the season, but they're 3-6 in their last 9 games. They have goaltending issues. Auston Matthews has not been the same since he suffered a wrist injury. And 2 points separate them from both the Oilers and the Jets. Okay?
Okay.
So, future bets, I'm putting a little scratch down on both, assuming, or I should say hoping, that one hits and you profit. All right? So, Oilers at plus 475 to win the division, and Winnipeg plus 550 to win the division. Put a little scratch on both, and if one of them wins the division, then you profit.
I don't hate that. I like that.
Toronto, they have lost.
Toronto's being Toronto. They're being Toronto.
That's a great way to put it.
They're crumbling under the pressure.
And also, Vegas hates the Winnipeg Jets. I don't know why, but the Winnipeg Jets, almost every single game they play, have great value on the money line. So,
okay.
I like that. All right. Now, I really want to get your reaction to this. All right. So, baseball season starts next Thursday. So, the next time we have a money line, baseball season will have been underway. Last week, in a future bet, I took Juan Soto to lead the major leagues in home runs. Okay. At plus 1,200. That was my future bet. I'm staying in the National League East for this future bet. All right? The Atlanta Braves plus 500 to win the National League. And here's why. They still have young talent coming through the system. They were one win away from the World Series with a battered pitching rotation. If they stay healthy and some of these young guys continue to progress, I like the value at plus 500 for the Braves to win the National League.
I do too. I mean, I think everything you just said, because they got a mix of the veterans that have either been there or ones that they've signed, and then some young talent that's just going to keep getting better that's coming up. I can't wait to see Pache and what Pache has now that he's had a cup of coffee in the bigs.
And real quick, speaking of rookies, NL Rookie of the Year, Ian Anderson plus 750.
Yeah.
Young pitcher for the Atlanta Braves. You know him well, Chase.
Saw him in the playoffs.
He pitched pretty darn well last year, including in the playoffs.
Yep.
Plus 750, I feel like, is pretty good value there for Ian Anderson, who will likely rack up some wins. And not that wins are going to get you a Rookie of the Year, because the advanced stats within pitching has steered voters away sometimes from wins and losses, but I think the amount of wins and how well he pitches, especially with his Ks per nine, will absolutely keep him in the NL Rookie of the Year chase. All right, those were your future picks of the week, your parlays of the week. Now it's time for the locks of the week. Those are coming up next. Chase got his right last week. I did not. We will review and then make our locks of the week. Coming up next here on The Moneyline, he's Chase McCabe. I'm Ryan Porth. And you are listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back into the Money Line, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Ryan Porth and Chase McCabe here with you. The Money Line brought to you every Friday by Twin Spire Sportsbook. They are my sportsbook. You should check them out. They are now legal in Tennessee. All right, we have little time to get through all this, Chase. So, locks of the week. Last week, you got yours right. And it wasn't a college basketball bet. It wasn't a hockey bet, NBA, what have you. You went with the FCS, and I was thinking to myself, what are you doing going to the FCS with your lock? But you got it right. It was Chattanooga plus 5.5 against Furman. I could not believe my ears when you were saying that last week, but you nailed it.
Hey, football's still playing, okay? And you can bet on FCS. FCS is fun, man, when it comes to betting, so – let's go, Mox.
Getting it all done. Right. That was your lock of the week. You got that. I missed mine last week. It was Hurricanes minus 1.5 on the puck line against the Blue Jackets. We aren't going to talk about the results of that game. All right, let's move to the locks of the week. Chase, what you got?
All right, so I'm going to go with the UFC 260 tomorrow night. Nagano and Miocic. What? Why are you laughing?
That's good. Just keep going.
Stipe Miocic, who actually played a semester of baseball at Trevecca.
Oh, plus, the more you know.
Plus 110 in the main event. Nagano minus 135, the favorite, and that is a lock. I love Stipe, but no chance. I think that the Nagano, the favorite, wins. So that's my lock of the week.
All right, so first week you go with FCS, and then second week you go with UFC.
He laughs at me about UFC, but everybody's going like, you know, yeah, I'm betting on UFC.
Well,
more power to you. Watching that socially.
More power to you. More power to you. All right. So my lock of the week, I'm going back to the NHL, and I'm going back to a puck line, which means this is going to be dangerous. But I feel pretty good about the Bruins minus 1.5 tomorrow afternoon against the lowly Buffalo Sabres. The Buffalo Sabres are one of the worst teams this stretch, one of the worst teams in NHL history. I mean, they are god awful. They are an embarrassment to the National Hockey League in the last month. They are on a 16 game winless streak. 16 games. That hasn't been done in a long time. Now, why are they at this point where, well, their number three goalie is their starter. They fired their coach. Their interim coaching staff was sidelined due to COVID last night in Pittsburgh. They got just trounced by a Pittsburgh team that is injury laden. And, oh, by the way, they just traded Eric Staal today. So
they did.
I'm going with the Bruins minus 1.5 as my lock of the week.
I think that's a good one. What was wrong with Phil Housley as a head coach? I still haven't figured that out.
I don't know anyone. I mean, the Buffalo Sabres head coaching position is like a black hole.
Yeah.
It's like quarterbacks for the Oakland Raiders or the Las Vegas Raiders franchise over the years, or the Cleveland Browns pre-Baker Mayfield. I mean, that's where coaching careers go to die is Buffalo, New York.
There's only one thing in the NHL that is worse than the Buffalo Sabres, and that is Robbie Stanley picking and pick to click.
What's going to be longer, Buffalo's current winless streak or Robbie's winless streak and pick to click? I honestly don't know what the total is so far. I just know he's over. We need to look this up. We seriously need to look this up.
I've heard it's going around the locker room that players are saying, don't pick me. They don't want Robbie to pick them.
I don't blame them. I mean, he is completely cursed and pick to click. All right, let's take a couple minutes and look at some local teams and some lines for this weekend. It's TriStar Trends. Let's start with the Predators and the Blackhawks. Now, Chase, I said earlier, I'm putting it in a parlay, and let's focus just quickly on it again. The under six of Preds Blackhawks tomorrow night, I would imagine it would be UC Saros versus Kevin Lankinen, right? I mean, yeah. Both are coming off huge performances individually. I would be surprised if either coach goes with either Pekka or Malcolm Subban tomorrow night. If it's Saros versus Lankinen, I would take the under six in a heartbeat. And Kevin Lankinen is good at home in Chicago. And the Preds, they scored 7 goals last night, which means they're probably due for a 1 or 2 goal night. Under six for Preds Blackhawks is something that I'm watching. Also with good value, Cali Yarncroke plus 360 for goal scoring on the TwinSpire Sportsbook.
Okay, I like that.
So be watching out for that. Now with the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies are 9.5-point underdogs at Utah tonight. It's going to be a tough game for the Grizz.
As I had now, in my parlay.
80% of the bettors are putting their money on Utah minus 9.5. 80%. Very quickly, Chase, why is this an opportunity to get the 9.5 with Memphis?
I think that how Memphis has played against the spread as of late is the reason that I'm looking at that, because they have covered in 7 of their last 10 games from what I was looking at earlier. And 9.5 is a big number in the NBA. I know Utah is pretty good. And like I said earlier, setting up the parlay, they've covered quite a bit, but not as of late. So that's why I would go towards the home state team.
Utah is very good. They're coming off 2 blowout wins, 1 against Chicago, not very good, and 1 against Brooklyn, who were without the big 3. I think Memphis pushes them tonight, but also 80% going with Utah. The house always wins. So I'm going with the Grizzlies tonight, plus 9.5. So, all right, that is it for the money line tonight, powered by TwinSpire Sportsbook. I'm Ryan Porth, and he is Chase McCabe. Chase, good luck to all your bets.
Thank you. You as well. Chasing Checkers tomorrow, 9 o'clock.
And Sunday Money with your racing picks at 9:45.
Yes.
For Chase McCabe, I'm Ryan Porth. Thank you so much for listening to the Money Line. We'll be with you next Friday evening at 6 p.m. right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save.